And so we went through, it's a gift from him. It's a gift from him. And we said, aren't you glad that what we have were not stones? Okay, like, which stone would you carry today, okay, of all the stones? And his word has been preserved for us in a book. And we, you know, I was reading this morning for the opening verse some sections of Romans, and there was all these verses I could have read about the law and so on. And that term in English and in America today, in the 20th century, has been greatly misunderstood. We think of law, and it's not what they intended that word to mean. As you know, it means the instructions, the teachings, the directions. That's a lot softer. God gave us directions. He gave us instructions. He gave us his teachings, okay? And so that's scripture. We walked through all the things we've walked through. We've come to the conclusion that what we have right here, Old and New Testament, okay, Tanakh and Brit Hadashah, is the Word of God. It's reliable. It's authentic. We walk through those things. How we know that? You can trust it. What we have is what was written. We know who wrote it. It's science has been our friend in this, and archaeology. The bottom line, in fact, I was bringing a message today, maybe in the midst of the holidays sometime. There was one part of the proof of its authenticity I did not bring up, and that's fulfilled prophecy, which is an immense topic. But looking, we talked about a couple of weeks ago about probabilities. The probability of only a handful of these prophecies coming to pass is astronomical in number. And we have hundreds and hundreds. And the author of some of these books that put the stats together say, no one can doubt if they look at it. Because they can't come up with, how can this be? It can't. But people ignore it, who don't believe. Okay, we mentioned Josh McDowell's book. See our book ministry about that one. There's a new version out right now with new statistics in it. But the bottom line is that we have come to a conclusion, and our bylaws state and so on, that what is inspired of God? What is God breathed? The word inspired means God breathed. The Spirit of God, the breath of God, is what we have right here. This is what Yeshua endorsed as far as the Tanakh. And the apostles later, his disciples, his students, wrote the rest of it. And those who lived at that time, their students, in figuring out, okay, now which of these are the true authentic books, they came to agreement. They had much more knowledge than we do. The bottom line is, this is a book you can trust. It's reliable. It's authentic. It predicts the future accurately. But we also said this, because of the nature of our congregation, by the way, I'm going to stir the pot today. I'm going to do some pot stirring today. there are other writings. Now, we clarified, this is what is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And then, okay, such as other writings, the ancient sages and so on, the oral law. We talked about that the Pharisees in Yeshua's time believed in the written law, which is this, and the oral law, which they believe God gave to Moses, which later was written down in about the year 200 by Yehuda Hanasi. The Pharisees believed that. Paul believed that as a Pharisee. And yet we say, no, we don't believe that. We believe that the written word is the inspired word of God. So the oral law, with some other commentaries, came together to form the Talmud. And so within Judaism, the Talmud is seen also as authoritative. Now, what we said, was where we stand on this, pardon me, is that this is our authority. This is inspired. But that doesn't mean that other writings are not important. They're important, but they're not inspired. All right? There's a difference. There's a difference. They're important. Why? Because I'm going to throw out some thoughts today, and you'll agree with some of this, how difficult it is to be messianic. Okay? We face things nobody else faces. Nobody else. And it's not going to get any easier. We're going to make it harder for you today. Because today, some of you, a lot of you, most of you, think you have certain answers. And I'm going to surprise you with things that other people don't teach. See, teachers teach their favorite things. And they skip things they don't like. Oh, we're going to skip that chapter. Because they don't like to talk about it. Because you have questions. Well, wait a minute. Doesn't that say that? So So other writings are important, but they're just not inspired by the Holy Spirit. Why are they important to us? Because being messianic, there's a Jewish heritage, culture, traditions, that you know, it's the richest culture in history. And that Jewish identity needs to be maintained or prophecy can't be fulfilled. God calls Jews to be Jews forever. The whole thing with Messianic Judaism is you come to faith in a Jewish Messiah. Thank you. But that's all that changes. You still are Jewish. And in our introductory classes, in the orientation classes, we talk about that subtly and sometimes blatantly, both in the church and the synagogue, the message is this. If you believe in Jesus and you're Jewish, when that happens, you're no longer a Jew. Okay? What happened to the blood? You have blood transfusion there along the line somewhere? And both sides say that. I've heard it on the phone and so on. Congratulations, you're no longer a Jew. You're now a Christian. Okay, Paul Lieberman in his book. It's a little book. Y'all ought to get it. It's wonderful. He asked the question because he struggled with this because he was told that. If you're a Jew, you cannot believe in Jesus. So when you do, you stop being a Jew. He goes, I do? You see, when you witness the Jewish people and they hear that, because people say that or imply it, they say, I'm not interested. But they never hear about Yeshua. But like, what was his bloodline again? Like, what tribe was he from? Oh, Judah. That Jewish kind of a thing, huh? So Paul Lieberman said this, how does believing in a Jewish Messiah prophesied about by Jewish prophets in a Jewish book written in a Jewish land make me not a Jew if I believe in him? Think about that. But that's the message. That's the message. Now, I'm not on purpose stepping on anybody's toes or their background today because I was in those backgrounds myself. I was talking to pastors on the phone yesterday who are friendly to me because they know me from time past. They're going to bring a lot of people here in the fall to see who we are. Okay? So be nice. Yeah. But they what I'm going to tell you, you've been told, they've been told. I know it'll be hard, but be nice. So in my conclusion on all this stuff, we're going to stir the pot a bit. And also, you're probably going to say, I think I know what series you may want to do for us next. I don't know. The Lord has not told me, but we'll see. So today's subject, since no one has asked me from the Tate Ministry, is, oh, here it is. Okay, Paul and tradition. And then I put, surprise. Because we have been told certain things on the radio, in churches, at conferences, and in books. And we believe it. Because teachers say that. I said that in time past. Because my teacher said that. How true is it? You see, there's little things they kind of leave out. And the reason they leave it out, we're bringing it up today, because it makes it harder and more complicated. See, you and I would like clear cut. You will do this way. Now. Or never. Or whatever. But sometimes the Lord doesn't do it quite like that. And he gives us all this information. He says, oh, and by the way. And you go, wait a minute. What do I do with that? And he goes, and the point is, you deal with it. We do as a community, which makes it difficult. Because how can all of you agree with me, who is correct and right? I mean, see, that's the problem we get into. So, Paul and tradition. We talked a little bit about Yeshua and tradition and the clashes he had with the Pharisees. Some of those, he said, you know, you're perishing because of your traditions. And people say, that means the traditions of the Jews are all wrong. No, Yeshua said the Pharisees' traditions were not correct. He was really in their camp. Okay, he's saying, you know what? And why was he saying that? Because they were accusing his disciples of breaking the law. When they weren't, they were violating a tradition of the Pharisees. The Sadducees didn't believe it. But they took it like we have, what we believe our tradition is the same as Scripture. Yeshua said, not so. Not so. So that's the difference. We're going to make it a little harder today, though, and more fun. It's fun being messianic. Okay, when I was in the Baptist church, it was much easier to get here. I didn't have to wear dancing shoes. Didn't have to bring a tambourine. Didn't have to know, does my tallit match my shirt or which kippah it wore. Didn't have to do any of that. Okay? We didn't dance. I mean, it was easier. It was much easier. But this is a lot more fun here. Okay, Paul, let's walk through some things maybe you were told. And we'll see. Paul, who was Saul, was converted from Judaism to Christianity on the road to Damascus. We're not voting just yet, okay? He was formerly a Jew. I'm telling you what we've been told. Well, I've been told this, okay? It's even in my footnotes in my Bible, okay? He was formerly a Jew, but now he's not. Okay? He was a Pharisee, which means a legalist. All right? He was. But then, on the Damascus Road, everything changed. And he became a Christian and went to church every week, but there were no churches yet, were there? Okay. But now this Paul, who was Saul, now teaches this, that since Yeshua fulfilled every point in the law, and by the way, he did. You see, that statement is correct. We can jumble things up. We'll have some fun today. He fulfilled the law in every point, that the law is a thing of the past. That's the logic. And there's actually some statements by Paul that are pretty strong on that point that say, that could, in English, it kind of sounds that way. And those are the ones where we read. I'm going to show you other verses today, and you go, what? You'll see. This is going to be so much fun. Although the law was scripture, remember, the law that no longer is in existence was scripture, God breathed, okay? It is now what we call the Old Testament. It's old, the Old Testament. Now we have a New Testament, all right? And if you're thinking Jewish, you should talk about the New Covenant. It was just the next one in a series of covenants, okay? It wasn't, now that all those are gone. So what's amazing is the stuff I'm going to say today, Jewish people have no problem with. Gentiles in the movement do. And churches do that we reach out to. And the reason I'm doing this is they're going to ask you questions. And I want you to have the answers. And you answer in love and kindness and graciousness, not in arrogance or pride or you don't know, in love. Scripturally. But you got to know, you have to know where to turn. And you too will stir the pot, okay? Wait a minute. So we don't believe in the Old Testament. We have the New Testament, by the way, which Paul wrote most of. Okay, he wrote this, most of it. Having been a Pharisee in the past. You remember that they also practiced the oral law, the Mishnah, the Pharisees did, along with traditions to form their practice, their observance. And many people today say, well, we're just biblical only. We don't have any traditions. All traditions we throw away. We only do things that are in the Bible only scriptural things. Traditions, and if you go there in December, there's a great big tree in their sanctuary that I can't find in the Bible anything about that, but I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying that would be a tradition, okay? But don't go and point it out to them, okay? Unless you go to the White House and point out the Christmas balls that have Mao Zedong's picture on them and ask why. For me, please. I'm serious. Yep, that happened. That actually happened. Okay? He, having been a Pharisee, okay, our practice, our observance, and all that stuff was a thing of the past because Yeshua fulfilled the law on every point. Now, since there is no longer any value, any meaning in Torah, okay, in Torah observance, which was scripture at one time, so now we have the New Testament, down to 27 books. It goes without saying. Shouldn't even bring this up, because that was scripture. Let alone the traditions. The traditions, we shouldn't even take a look at those, should we? That means this used to be scripture, but the traditions, oh, come on. Okay? They're also a thing of the past. And by the way, new Christian traditions have come in. Okay? And they must be implemented. You ever heard this? Paul addresses the subject of legalism, is where I'm going with this, in the book of Galatians. Now, in the book, that's the book he faces the legalism things, and It was a huge problem with what's called, what are those guys called? Yes, the Judaizers. The Judaizers. You've read this, right? You've heard sermons on this? You have. The Judaizers. And you have. Come on, have you?
Yes.
Yeah, you have, right? You have. The Judaizers. Correct. In my studying for this sermon, commentary after commentary talks about the Judaizers. The little notes in my Bible talks about the Judaizers. The reason he wrote the book, because of the Judaizers. And then it describes them, who they were and what they were like and so on. Would someone please find that word in Galatians for me? It doesn't exist. The very thing they say the book is about, Paul, that doesn't exist. They bring in the term. Oh, maybe it's in the book of Acts somewhere. Peter was in Antioch and he got in trouble once, right? Maybe it's there. It's not there. That word is not in the Bible. And yet people act like it is. The Judaizers. We're accused. We are accused of being Judaizers. Because we believe that Jewish people who believe in Yeshua need to maintain their Jewish identity. I have a question that you can bring up to them when they say that. We are Judaizing. How do you Judaize a Jew? Can I make you a little more Jewish, Aaron? Is that possible? How do I do that? I can't make you more Jewish than you are? See, what there's... You can have some fun if you do it in love, okay? If you do it in love. Legalism. Who were the Judaizers? Anyway, at the very end, I will answer that question. But the word doesn't appear. There's a concept that appears in the early Messianic community, in the book of Acts, and in Galatia, where the word can apply, but it's never used. Paul is not addressing Judaizers. Okay? Paul teaches strongly, or we've been told this, in the Galatians, against legalism and Judaizing. Let's take a look. Turn to Galatians 1. Galatians 1. We're going to look at several scriptures quickly today. Galatians 1. This just kind of sets the stage for what I'm going to say. Hey, maybe those guys were right. Okay, we'll start with this. Galatians 1, starting with verse 11. 11 to 14. If you look at my little notes at the beginning, it talks about all this stuff on the preview of why he wrote the book. It's to address the Judaizers. It says that right there. There's just no such verse, that's all. Chapter 1, verse 11. That was the wrong chapter. Let's go back a page. Okay, in him we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Messiah should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I'm not reading the right verse. I mean, Ephesians. Ephesians is a great book. Ephesians is a great book. We did study that some time ago. That was a great verse. That's for somebody here, okay? Verse 11. This makes much more sense. Okay, chapter 1, verse 11. But I make known to you, at least it wasn't in Revelation, okay? But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me, this is a big statement, is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was taught it, but it came through the revelation of Yeshua HaMashiach. Yeshua appeared to Paul, and he was Paul's teacher. All right? For 3 years. Similar time, we'll talk about that. You have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted, interesting term here, the church of God. Wait a minute. When Paul was persecuting the church of God, what kind of people were those people? Verse 13, Galatians 1. Yeah, Galatians 1. Yeah, but that was the wrong book. I was reading the wrong book. The verse is Galatians 1, 11 to 14. Galatians 1. All right. Paul is saying that he received direct revelation from Yeshua. He didn't go to a school to learn all this stuff. Verse 13. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism. Okay? His former conduct. how I persecuted in what he calls the Church of God. Now, the term is community, but it's translated in English to be church. Who were those people? What kind of people were they? What's their... They were Jews! Okay? It's interesting, though, he later, as he writes back, says that that was the community of God, who he, being a Pharisee of the Pharisees, a student of Gamaliel, a really Orthodox Jew, is saying that the Messianic people had it right. That was the right community. Interesting way he puts that. It's a Jewish term that you miss in the English. Verse 14, and I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation. By the way, he was in the school of Gamaliel, which was the highest school in preparation for being a member of the Supreme Court of Israel. Being, and look at this, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. Whoa, now that was typical of the Pharisees. Paul said, I was zealous for the traditions. That's not even the Mishnah. That's other stuff. He was saying, I was zealous for that. And so then we hear the teaching, keyword was, he used to be and he's not anymore. Why would he be? Those are traditions. We don't do traditions. We don't even do oral law. We don't even do Old Testament. Okay, let's just get right back down to... Okay. So they can take that and still build a case. Keep that in the back of your mind. On the word Judaism, Judaizing, where do they get the term? Where do they get the term? Since it's not in the Bible. Is it maybe a term of anti-Semitism? That negative, it's Judaizing. Becoming like Jews, because when a Jew becomes a believer in Yeshua, they shouldn't be that anymore. That's the point. That's the use of that term. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. So turn to 1 Corinthians 11 for your first surprise. 1 Corinthians 11. That is the correct passage. This is where Paul teaches how to do communion. No. But have you heard? Okay, come on, you guys. This is going to be some fun today, okay? Okay. Verse 2. Now, at the Seder, we read this verse. This is verse 2. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. That the Lord Yeshua, on the same night that he was betrayed, took bread, and so on and so forth. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 23. You know what? You're right. Let's go back. 11:2. You are right. 11:2. See, yes, you don't want to miss these that times. It's not the same just on the CD. 11:2. I was reading the wrong verse. That's your bigger print Bible. 1 Corinthians 11:2. Listen, we have a ways to go yet. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things. And keep the traditions. Uh-oh. You ever heard that one? Probably not. They ignore that verse. Just as I delivered them to you. Who are these people? They're not Jewish. It's Corinth. There's a few Jews, mostly Gentiles. Paul delivered to them, the apostle to the Gentiles, the traditions. That's what he said. Now go to verse... Okay, hang on a second. Before I get there. Mostly Gentiles. This is an important concept because Paul uses this term. And if you're not attending a Messianic congregation or if you're not Jewish, you miss the picture. But if you come here or to a synagogue, you get the picture. He's using the term, I delivered. It's the same as passing something on. Same term. And another word is always used with it, which means received. You pass it, you receive it. Picture of Lador of Ador. Lador of Ador. I delivered, I passed it on, you received it. Passed on and received. But he's saying that about the traditions. I delivered them to you and you received them. These are mostly not Jewish people doing traditional Jewish things. Yes, it was a Messianic congregation. in Corinth. It wasn't First Baptist Corinth, okay? It wasn't. It was the Dot HaMashiach Corinth, okay? And he says, that which it's been carefully and faithfully passed on to you, you know, with care, meticulously, and received, and you're getting it, the door of a door. Judaism places a very high regard to the source of the information. Where'd you get that? That's why I want you to know this stuff, okay? Where's the authority for that teaching? An example, when students are studying the Talmud quotes all these famous rabbis. Rabbi so-and-so says this, Rabbi so-and-so says that. They're relying on other people's authority to come to a conclusion. Paul emphasizes the process of receiving from the Lord and passing it on. Receiving from the Lord, not receiving from Gamaliel. Not receiving from his other teachers, but from the Lord. That's what he passes on. How can that be a tradition? Ooh, hang on. We're going there. He had received from the Lord. But Yeshua is his authority. Yeah. The Brit Hadashah, New Testament, speaks of three kinds of traditions. First is Jewish traditions. The Mishnah, the Oral Law. That's what we saw in Galatians 1. Paul refers to that. Okay? The traditions of the fathers. Yeshua addressed some of those things. There were some clashes, but you know what? Sometimes he agreed with them, which now we're in territory that makes it a little more difficult. Because you and I would like to hear him say yes or no. But sometimes it's yes and sometimes it's no. Oh, how do we know? Which is which? There is a way. We will get there. Some were positive and some were... So Yeshua practiced some tradition, but he also refused to practice others. How do you know what to do? The first thing is you better know what's tradition and what's scripture. That's point one. Know the difference there. The second kind of tradition in the New Testament is human tradition. Turn to Colossians 2. Colossians. C-O-L. Colossians. Chapter... Where did I go? Chapter 2, verse 8. Colossians 2:8. All right. Beware lest any cheat you through, here's the human tradition, philosophy, empty conceit, according to the tradition of men. He differentiates the tradition of men, the Greek philosophers, from the Jewish teachers, okay? Because the Jewish teachers were using things that applied and interpreted scripture, where Greek philosophers did not. And he's writing to Greeks in these letters, and they were well aware of the philosophers. He's saying human tradition. But look what he says about it. Empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, not according to Messiah. Oh, he makes a big division that philosophy, regular philosophy, is distinctively apart from Scripture. When you study philosophy in college, you study the Greek philosophers. All right? Paul says there's a big difference. They're not right. Yeshua is right. So we have two clear-cut areas there. But now there's a third area, and this is where the fog gets fun. The traditions of the Messianic community. That's us. There were traditions? Oh, yeah, there are, and there were. You go back to 1 Corinthians 11 for a biggie. 1 Corinthians 11. We read this every year at the Seder. First Corinthians 11, verse 23-26. We read that first verse earlier. I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Yeshua, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper. That would be the third cup. cup of redemption, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. He was teaching them how to do a messianic Seder. How was that different than the Seders in Jerusalem 20 years before? Yeshua was not a part of it. He included Yeshua. Why am I bringing this up in tradition? Because that's tradition. If you go back to Passover in the instructions, there was no third cup in the instructions. But Yeshua took that tradition and said, this speaks of me. Am I maybe implying that God sometimes speaks through the traditions? That makes things really cloudy and difficult, doesn't it? But he does. And there's several examples of that where both Yeshua and his disciples would take a tradition and said, that tradition speaks of Yeshua. Look at the picture. If we practice this with him in the middle of it, again, it's tool after tool of reaching Jewish people to where they maintain their identity when believing in a Jewish Messiah. You don't give it up, you just include him. All the holidays, same way. They don't change, but Yeshua is the focal point. Okay, most of that stuff is tradition. A lot of it, in Yeshua's time, he blessed. So how do we know the difference? Okay, this Seder was a combination of Torah, tradition, and Messianic tradition, Messianic Halakha. How do we know what's what? Hang on, we'll get there. That four cups of wine were not found in Scripture. Not at all. But it was from God. It was from God. And it became Messianic. It became, it's in our Haggadah. It became Halakha, our rules. Okay, now it gets better. Turn to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. That's by the T's, okay? The small books, T's. 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2. Verse 15 and 16. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. Now, this is Thessalonica, Greece, mostly Gentiles, believers in Yeshua, some Jews, like our congregation. Stand fast and hold the traditions. Oh, no. Nobody ever tells you about that verse, do they? Hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Hold. He said, do the traditions. He is encouraging the Gentiles to be traditional in practice. They had to learn that from Jewish people. You know, what did the early church look like? It was messianic. It was Jewish in nature. Even the traditions. It gets better. Chapter 3, same book. Chapter 3. Verse 6. But we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the traditions which he received from us. Why didn't he say Scripture? Because the traditions are really important. Paul taught them as important. But he differentiated what was Scripture and what was tradition. But he encourages both, but know the difference. When we have traditional things, a Torah service is a tradition that honors the Scripture. It's nowhere in the Bible do you find that. We have that practice. It's a part of Judaism today. But the living word we honor is Yeshua the Messiah. So you have to put it in context. And again, he talked there about you receive from us. Not the Pharisees. Paul is saying not you receive the traditions from us. The proper interpretation, which has Yeshua at the focal point. That's the ones that you do. Those are the ones you do. Some of the traditions seem to be from God. Mm-hmm. The New Testament, the Brit Hadashah. So how do we know which are right and what to do and how to do it? Well, it's our lucky day. The Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, is our inspired commentary written by the students of the Messiah himself as to how to practice Messianic Halakha. And it's not very big. It's not very big. There it is, right there. And you go, wait a minute, there's lots of room for interpretation. Yes, there is. Yes, there is. But there's some boundaries too. You stay within the boundaries. So we don't walk around to other congregations and say, you know what, you're doing this wrong. Are they honoring Yeshua? They just maybe do it different. And we're not the model for doing it right. We do it. We have changed over the years. We will still change. But all that we do, we want to honor him. But also there's a Jewish identity, a heritage, a culture, and customs that are important. Now some we don't do because they're not biblical. They don't apply to Scripture. So it becomes more difficult. How do we do what we do? How do we do it? As long as we keep Yeshua at the focal point. And in a lot of the example of the holidays, the traditions come in. They're not in conflict, but they actually emphasize the Messiahship of Yeshua. Another way to reach Jewish people, because some of the ancient rabbis had it right. They had it right. Paul taught the principle in applying halakha. See, a lot of his letters are putting out fires, skirmishes in congregations. And what was their problem? Was their problem practice, observance? No, it was how they did it. Paul says, he teaches that we practice the traditions, we practice all that we do in a spirit of love, not legalism. Okay, and there's a great latitude on how we do this, a great latitude. Let me read you a quote by David Stern. You know, he's really old now, and he's written some great stuff, but he's been around the movement for a long time. And we face the same things that they faced back then and other congregations face today. I love this quote. Here we go. While traditions conserve the wisdom of the past, the degree to which they should be modified to fit circumstances of the present, see there, how do we do it today? How do we do this today is the issue. Not so much back, how now? The degree to which they should be modified to fit circumstances of the present is always a topic for discussion. I guess so. This issue is at the root of the difference between Orthodox, Conservative, and Reform Judaism. You who are Jewish came usually from one of these backgrounds. But if you were in a Reform synagogue, the Conservative guys did not say that you were not Jewish. They just practiced different. Your Jewishness was not in question. Some Messianics walk around saying, you're not Jewish enough. You know, don't do that. You have the different ways to practice. They disagree, they shake hands, their Jewishness is not in question. But for us, we have it even tougher. Believing in Yeshua does not imply giving up Jewish practices, but may imply modifying them to take into account New Covenant truth. And that's exactly what we do. That's exactly what we do. And it's open for creativity. Are we honoring Yeshua? Okay, and some of these other, when Jewish people come in, are they going to be comfortable? You know, Paul, the Pharisee, remember him? Was teaching congregations who were mixed like us, Jews and non-Jews, to keep traditions. How do we do it? The spirit of love, not judgment. Joy, not pride, not arrogance. A couple more. An example of Paul keeping Torah. Remember the guy who used to be a Pharisee? Turn to Acts 21. Acts 21. Verse 17. He's in trouble. Yeah, verse 21:17. We had come to Jerusalem, he'd been gone a while. The brethren received us gladly, but there's a problem. On the following day, Paul went in with us up to James, and all the elders were present. When he greeted them, he told in detail those things which God had done amongst the Gentiles through his ministry. When they heard it, they glorified the Lord, and they said, you see, brethren, how many, and they're saying to him, see, Paul was reporting on the Gentiles coming to faith. They continue, how many myriads of Jews there are who have believed. Myriads means tens of thousands. He doesn't say that they've changed their religion to something else. Jews, but what they believe. Tens of thousands. And look at the next part of this. And they're all zealous for the law. Well, at least it's scripture. These guys, these believers, were zealous for the law, for God's instructions. Well, I thought that was Old Testament. That's not how they saw it. It's not how they saw it at all. Now, Paul's in trouble. Rumors have come about him. They have been informed about you, that you teach all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, that's the law, saying that you ought not to circumcise their children, nor walk, catch this, according to the customs. That was the accusation, not the scripture, but the customs. Now, right there, the Paul that we've been told about should have said, well, you're right. I teach Bible only, scripture only, that we don't do the customs. Guess what? He was called upon to stand up and say, I do teach the customs, and I do the customs. Do you hear that one much? Do you hear? Okay. And then they said, we want you to prove it by doing something that's a combination of scripture and custom. It was the Nazarite vow with some people. Only part of that was a custom, and part was from Numbers. And he went and did it. You should have fulfilled the law on every point. We don't do that stuff anymore. He did it. He did it to prove he still practices tradition. To show his Jewishness, that he hasn't switched religions. That's what he's saying. Paul expected people to know the difference. What is scripture? What is tradition? See, it's tough being messianic. We have to know more. People are going to come and ask, why do you do this? You should have an answer. Because it has to do with our heritage, our culture. You need to know why we do what we do, why we don't do what we don't do. What is biblical? What is tradition? We practice certain things, others we don't. You need to know why. It takes a while to figure that out. It's not easy being messianic. Our practice, our observance, must be in the spirit of love, not of judgment. Now, in our bylaws, at the beginning of this, we read this. I want to read one point in the statement of purpose. To provide, point five, an environment which encourages Jewish believers in Yeshua to embrace their Jewish heritage, to retain their Jewish identity and lifestyle, and to preserve a biblically Jewish expression of faith. That includes heritage, traditions, customs. It's a part of who we are. But know the difference. So the bottom line of all this, and in Paul's experience as well, there's other verses I won't go into them right now. I'll give you the references. Acts 23:6 and Acts 28:17. And there's more. But Paul defends who he is. Many people say, well, Paul was a Pharisee. No, Paul says, when he says who he is, he says, I am a Pharisee. Well, Paul was a Jew. He says, I am a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I'm the most Jewish person of all. Perfect place to say, I used to be a Jew. He says, no, I am a practicing Jew. A Hebrew of the Hebrews. And then he goes down his lineage and so on. His identity. I'm the seed of Abraham, the tribe of Benjamin. Jewish identity did not change when he came to faith in Yeshua. And a part of that was continuing the culture and passing it on to the next generation. 2 Corinthians 11:22. I'm a Hebrew, I'm an Israelite, and so on. Philippians 3:4-6. All those verses list things that we have been told. Paul used to be that. He didn't used to be a Jew, and now he's a Christian. He's still a Jew. He didn't used to be a Pharisee. He's still a Pharisee. He didn't used to do traditions. He still does. Wait a minute. What about Galatians then? All that other stuff. Didn't I tell you I would bring up like who the Judaizers were? Remember that? Who were the Judaizers? Even though the word's not there. How do you Judaize a Jew? You can't. They have the problem we have in the movement today. They were Gentiles. We're trying to be Jewish. That was the problem. Okay, Jewish people have no trouble with their identity. They're Jew. But in the practice of doing Jewish things, and the difference is we want Gentiles to identify with Jews, not identify as Jews. And some get it mixed. There's a difference. Okay? What I do because I went to it, it has meaning to me. It doesn't make me a Jew. Okay? But I identify with the meaning, with all that we do. And Paul's picture of the olive tree is the two come together, but they maintain separate identities, but they worship together. We, the Judaizers, were Gentiles who were telling other people, you have to, if you do this, you'll be Jewish. Not true. So don't do that. And you who are not Jewish, don't walk around telling people that they're not Jewish enough or questioning their practice. Please. Their choice. It's like it's your choice too. But what makes it more difficult for us is that Paul did not forsake his heritage, his culture, even his customs. He just simply included Yeshua in the whole picture. All the more reason why Messianic Judaism is what they had, is what the world needs today. Because it maintains the culture, the customs, the identity. And it brings the richness of Scripture to life through drama. The Torah service is a drama. A Jewish wedding is a drama. The Seder is a drama. We illustrate biblical truth with tradition. So know your Bible and know the difference. And know it's not easy. Let's all stand. Where'd my wife to put me on? Oh, is that what that little thing was on?